continue now with the current installment of the story of Rav Mordechai HaTzadik, as he was known, one of the principal disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, who had two dear friends from his yeshiva days, Rav Chaim and Rabbi Socher Ber, and how after Rav Mordechai had become a chosid of the Baal Shem Tov, decided to seek out his two friends in order to let them know about the new derech in Avodas Hashem, the new path in divine service that came about from the Baal Shem Tov, and that they too should become acquainted with it and become Talmidei HaBaal Shem. That Mordechai's decision to leave the Baal Shem Tov's presence, the Baal Shem Tov giving him his brocha and haskama, his blessing, and saying to him that it was a good idea what he was doing, the Baal Shem Tov told him not to hasten. Wherever he goes, he should see to it to use the time wisely and well in spreading Shittas of Baal Shem Tov. Rav Mordechai finally meets up with his friend Rav Chaim in Dubrovna. Rav Mordechai is appointed the town magid, as he's at the same time concurrently working on Rav Chaim. The people in Dubrovna are enthralled by Rav Mordechai and his droshes, his speeches. He's appointed as the town magid. And as it comes, the days of Slichas, Rav Mordechai speaks every night in another shul, and we were up to that point where Rav Mordechai had given, as his Erev Rosh Hashanah, Slichas Drosha, the speech which he gave Erev Rosh Hashanah, which brought the entire congregation to Tshuva. But afterwards, Rav Mordechai remonstrates with himself, saying, how could he have spoken so harshly, he thought, to such wonderful, simple people who have such a difficult life as it is? And he feels that his words were too harsh, and he also saying to himself that I am calling them to task, but I do not call myself to task. And he's thinking how bitter it is that he's fallen so far in the close to the year that he has been away from the Baal Shem Tov. And Rav Mordechai breaks out into tears, and he begins pleading with the Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, to have rachmonis on him, to take pity upon him, and to rescue him from his grave situation. Rav Mordechai remembered how beautiful it had been a year earlier when he was in the company of the Baal Shem Tov and the Chavraya Kadisha, the Holy Assembly, the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. He reminded himself of the tremendous degree of spiritual service that took place during the entire month of Elul, the month of preparation for the high holy days of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur. It's particularly the service during the days of Sliches and Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of Tshuva, and finally culminating on Yom Kippur. And now Rav Mordechai thought to himself, where was he? He had gone to the other extreme. He was giving Musar something which was opposite the Shittas HaBaal Shem Tov. Crushed and dejected, hungry and heartbroken, Rav Mordechai laid down on the hard bench to rest for a while. Rav Mordechai had not yet recited the Kriya Shema before going to bed, but he was so completely exhausted that he didn't even have the strength to recite the words of the Shema. And as for the accompanying meditations, the kavanas that come along with the recitation of the Shema, that was totally out of the question. You'll remember that Rav Mordechai had not yet broken his fast from that day. And Rav Mordechai thinks to himself that this is, after all, the last night of the year, and Rav Mordechai wished to achieve an especially spiritually high level on this night. At least, he'd said to himself, it should be no lower than that of an ordinary night of the year. And for that reason, he simply had to lie down for a while and take a rest. He was annoyed with his body for being made of such a chomer gas, of such a coarse matter, that it needed to lie down and rest. But what could he do? He had no choice in the matter. He had to lie down for a short time. Rav Mordechai takes the rest, and all of a sudden he wakes with alacrity, disoriented, and it's a tumult, frightened, and there's a commotion going through his mind. He had no idea how long he had been asleep. His head was filled with obscure and confusing images. He had seen many hundreds of people, their faces swollen from crying, running around as though looking for something in grief and in anguish. Then he had seen the Holy Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, and he had begun to cry and to unburden his bitter heart to him. The Rebbe had smiled and spoken to him briefly. The Mordechai tried to recall the exact words. Was it possible that the Rebbe had spoken such words of utter praise to him? He had clearly heard from the Rebbe's mouth the following words: Kavanoscho maisecho ritzuyim. Both your intentions and your actions are proper and are approved. They cause delight in the heavenly court. Be strong, the Baal Shem Tov said to Rabbi Mordechai in his dream, and steadfast in your avodah, in your divine service. The word tshuva contains the letters boishes hey. Remember the days of your youth. Hashem Uri, God is my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah, while V'yishi, and my salvation, refers to Yom Kippur. And finally, the Baal Shem Tov concluded in the dream with a bracha for Ksiva Teva L'shona Teva. May you be written and sealed for a good year. The Mordechai could still see the entire scene in his mind's eye, and he could still hear the Rebbe's words. Inspired by the Rebbe's, by the dream he had, the bracha and the words of inspiration from the Baal Shem Tov, the Mordechai worked on himself the entire night. He recited Tikkun Chatzos, after which he recited the Psalms, all with a bitter heart and with tears from the depth of his soul. The Chevra Tehillim members, the members of the society that would recite Tehillim on a daily basis, began to assemble. When they started reciting Psalms, Reb Mordechai joined them, for he desired to be a part of this circle of simple Jews with their honest, noble, and pious appearance. In each individual Jew, Reb Mordechai detected some unique appeal. It was these very Jews whom I chastised. It was these Jews whom I caused grief, thought Reb Mordechai. But the Rebbe said to me, tshuva is boishes hey. My deeds are an embarrassment. And he broke out in loud weeping. When the people saw that the Maggid himself, who was known in the town as a great and tremendous Torah scholar and tzaddik, such a righteous individual, when the people beheld that the Maggid himself was crying, it affected them greatly, and they too all began to cry. The sound of weeping invaded the women's shul, where the women were already gathering for the slicha service. In this atmosphere of intense fervor and devotion, one of the Jews, the Shliach Tzibur, went to the lectern and began to recite the Slichas. Just as the Chazan said aloud the opening words, "You, O God, are righteous," and the whole Beis HaMedrash and Women's Shul began to wail and shout, "You, O God, are righteous, L'cho Hashem Atztoke, V'lonu Bishas Aponim, but we are full of shame," just at that moment, the Mordechai fainted. A great commotion ensued, but as soon as Reb Mordechai came to, he requested that the people, that the congregation continue saying slichas. For the words, "Be strong and steadfast in your avoda," which the Baal Shem Tov had told Reb Mordechai in the dream, reinforced Reb Mordechai and restored his energy. The city of Dubrovna, and possibly even the entire vicinity, had never experienced a month of Tishrei like that one. What a Rosh Hashanah! What a Yom Kippur! During all the Aseres to make Shuvah, during all the days of repentance, except for Shabbos, they read the passage of the Torah of Vayichal, which is read on a fast day. And as the custom was to fast during the Aseres, he makes Shuvah during these 7 intervening days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, except for Shabbos. The Maggid preached every day. Such a Shabbos Shuvah sermon, such a joyful Sukkot, the Jews of Dubrovna had never seen or heard of in their entire life. And this was all thanks to the Maggid, the Mordechai. The Maggid had instilled new souls into them, and their lives had completely changed. All of them, the wealthy folk as well as the simple and working folk, waited for the Holy Shabbos when once again they would merit to hear the Maggid preach. Everyone was able to understand the drushes, the sermons of the Maggid, for his sermons were somewhat different from those of other preachers. They never heard him curse them, and he never called them names. He always spoke so kindly and with such benevolence, the way one would speak to his very own children. And indeed, every Jew was like his own son, and every Jewess was like his own daughter. And within several months of Rav Mordechai's arrival in Dubrovna, the townsfolk were already telling wondrous stories about him. Some even hinted that he could perform miraculous and wondrous deeds. Everyone remembered the grand fair held in Dubrovna that year. This was an annual event at which merchants from the larger cities sold their wares in makeshift stalls with raw walls and roofs which were made out of cloth, temporary chatkis, temporary abodes. Every year during the fair, disputes and fighting arose between customers and between merchants. And Skivem Freilich, it was quite a happy scene. This year, however, while the Maggid was still preaching in the Gravedigger Shul, he had read a story to the congregation from the Gemara. And the moral of that story was that maintaining peaceful relations guarantees prosperity. If you don't fight among yourselves, he told them, there will be plenty of customers for everyone, and you needn't worry, all of you will make a good living. On the first day of the fair ran from Sunday to Friday, right after the Minyan Vasikin, right after the Sunrise Minyan, when people were just arriving for the fair and the merchants were just beginning to put up their stalls, the Maggid went from store to store and from stall to stall and from cart to cart, begging the Jews to maintain friendly relations and act toward one another with love. He promised that if they did so, they would have good customers and much profit. And that is exactly what happened. The words went from his holy mouth directly into God's holy ears. At this year's grand fair, prosperity rained down upon the Jews. Money flowed during all 5 days of the fair. Later, after Rav Mordechai was appointed town maggid, he would often walk along the sidewalks where shopkeepers sat at the doors of their shops and peddlers set up their display cases. He would beg them to treat one another with love and peace, promising that in return God would give them a good profit. And indeed, this promise was fulfilled. In the middle of a summer day, when the peasants were busy working in the barns, several non-Jewish merchants suddenly arrived, driving their carts at such great speed that one might think they had just escaped the executioner. They purchased such large quantities of all sorts of merchandise that both storekeepers and peddlers made a good profit. During that summer, the people of Dubrovna noticed that for some reason the neighboring squires were sending their agents to Dubrovna to shop more often than they had in previous summers. In addition, there were sick people whom the Maggid had blessed and who had recovered, thank God, because of his blessings. There were others too whom the Maggid had saved with his holy prayers. For example, there was a woman who had such a difficult labor that both the doctor and the old midwife predicted that they would have to take extreme measures in order to get the child out of the womb. The Maggid happened to be passing by in the street and heard people crying in the house. Going inside and seeing the scene before his eyes and being informed of the difficult labor that the woman inside was having, he had instructed her father and her husband to recite Kapitel Chav, Psalm 27 times, whereupon the woman immediately gave birth, without extreme measures being taken, to a healthy baby boy. The Maggid brought the dead back to life. Everyone was amazed by what happened to Avraham Chaimke, a slow-witted fellow who spent his days in the stables skinning animal carcasses. He frequented the villages where the Gentiles lived, ate all sorts of non-kosher foods, and attended Gentile celebrations. He never davened and didn't even bother to find out the dates of his parents' yard sites, the days when his mother and father had passed away. One day, the Maggid approached him in the marketplace where he was carrying a horse's hide that he had skinned. "Young man," said the Maggid to him, "where are your tzitzis?" "Well, I'm Avraham the skinner. Everyone in town calls me Avraham the Skinner," the young man replied to the Maggid. "No," said the Maggid, "just because you skin hides, you don't have to wear tzitzis. What does one have to do with the other?" "The whole city calls me Avraham Chaimke," said the lad again. The Maggid said to him, "After you deliver the hide, come to see me in the gravedigger's Beis HaMedrash. I'll tell you a beautiful story about what once happened to someone just like you. The Gemara says that skinning is also an honorable profession." This brief remark made such a profound impression on the lad that he became a follower of the Maggid. A tutor was found for him, and he began to daven and to behave like a Jew. Instead of being called Avraham the Skinner, he was now called Avraham the Tanner, for the Maggid had instructed him to learn the trade of tanning and blessed him with success. He was indeed successful, making money hand over fist, and his conduct was now exemplary. He gave large amounts of tzedakah. On the eve of Yom Kippur and on Hashanah Rava, he gave away money freely and with an open hand. In fact, people were even suggesting excellent shidduchim, excellent marriage prospects for him. As for Reb Chaim Porush, Reb Chaim Porush as well experienced a unique yontif. Never in his life had he celebrated the Yomim Neiroim, the high holiday season, in such a manner. He could find no words to describe his inner joy. During that season, he had literally turned into a different person. He had come alive and was more alert and more vigorous. He was now walking by himself and no longer needed someone to lead him by the hand. And whenever Mordechai preached in the evening, Reb Chaim was sure to be there. For he made an effort to attend all of Reb Mordechai's drushes, which he listened to most attentively. At the conclusion of Yom Kippur, after Reb Chaim completed his davening in the gravedigger's Beis HaMedrash, and the congregation had recited Kiddush Levana, the sanctification of the new moon, as is customary to be done right after Yom Kippur in order to go from one mitzvah to the next, he went to visit Reb Mordechai, who was in the large Beis HaMedrash. There, the evening prayer, Ma'ariv, had already been finished, but Reb Mordechai was still in the side room reciting the concluding prayer of Yom Kippur, Tfilas Nehillah, the Nehillah prayer, the closing prayer of Yom Kippur. Several minyanim of Jews, some 30-40 Jews, young folks, as well as the elderly, had remained in shul after the fast to listen to Reb Mordechai's davening. These were Reb Mordechai's staunch adherents, and on no account could they bring themselves to leave the Beis HaMedrash, to leave the synagogue. When Reb Chaim arrived, he was quite pleased to discover that Reb Mordechai was still davening. All day long on that Yom Kippur, he had felt the urge to go to the large Beis HaMedrash to see and hear Reb Mordechai's davening. Reb Chaim greatly desired to daven in the same Beis HaMedrash under the same roof as Reb Mordechai. He now possessed some knowledge of Kabbalah, of Jewish mysticism, and was aware that it is both advisable and beneficial to pray together with the tzaddik under the same roof. However, since he had been davening so many years in the Gravedigger's Beis HaMedrash, and it became his Mokim Kavua, his established place for prayer, he had been reluctant and refrained from changing his custom and changing his accustomed place of his accustomed place of davening. Reb Chaim observed the manner in which Reb Mordechai stood reciting the Shemin Esra, his talus soaking wet with tears and perspiration. From time to time, Reb Mordechai's warm breath and whispered murmuring could be heard. Reb Mordechai did not shout. Rather, he prayed silently, but occasionally he would raise up his hands, followed by a muffled sob, and then silence. Uskablenu b'kshuva shleima lefanecha. Receive us before you, God, in perfect tshuva and perfect repentance, Reb Mordechai recited aloud. He then began humming a prayerful melody that stirred them all. And those assembled began to weep silently. Ein keitz l'ishe chavesenu. There is no limit to the burnt offerings we are obligated to sacrifice for our iniquities, Reb Mordechai exclaimed further in the Neil Shemin Esra, exclaiming this in a tearful and quivering voice, as he began to beat his head with his fists, accompanied by profound weeping. Reb Mordechai then continued praying silently for some time, finally uttering the words, Hakol Hevel, all is vanity. After another period of silence, Reb Mordechai began to sing a melody filled with longing, but with a joyful note to his voice. Ato hivdalto enish melesh. You have set man apart from the very beginning and authorized him to stand before you, Reb Mordechai went on in his prayer of Ne'ilah. It appeared that Reb Mordechai was coming out of his trance. He seemed more energetic, and his davening was more plain. The assembled Jews understood that Reb Mordechai would soon finish davening, and they did not want him to know that they had been listening to his prayers. Therefore, they went out into the Beis HaMedrash and sat down at a table near the southern wall where fragments of candles still burned in the special Yom Kippur lamps. Reb Chaim also went into the Beis HaMedrash, where he began to explain to the Jews how great Reb Mordechai was, and what a tremendous Torah genius he was. Reb Chaim told the assembled Jews that Reb Mordechai knew the Talmud Bavli thoroughly, the Babylonian Talmud, and was also very familiar with the Jerusalem Talmud, the Medrash, and the Zohar. He was also an accomplished Kabbalist, having studied for a number of years under the Tzaddik of Pedolia and Volinia, the miracle worker known in those parts as the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Chaim then told them stories of the Baal Shem Tov that he had heard from Reb Mordechai. Just then, they heard Reb Mordechai reciting Shema Yisrael. They were overwhelmed by the intensity of his recitation of the Psukim Shema Yisrael, Hero Israel, Baruch Shem Kivud Malchusoi, and Hashem Hu Elikim, and finally, Lashon HaBo B'Yerushalayim next year in Jerusalem, which took Reb Mordechai a very long time to recite. That Mordechai then davened the weekday Maariv service, and although this was an ordinary weekday prayer, Mordechai spent a long time on this davening, while Reb Chaim continued speaking with the Jews. The Jews observed Reb Chaim's appearance and listened to his speech, scarcely believing that this was indeed Reb Chaim Porush, the man who had always gone around blindfolded and would never speak to anyone except in matters directly related to learning, and who was so cold and so shriveled and so huddled within himself, and now he had become so different. They had known Reb Chaim since he had first arrived from Rasasna, but he had now become a different person. He conversed and spoke with people in a normal fashion, and he told wonderful stories. They could not believe their own eyes and ears. This couldn't possibly be the same Reb Chaim Porush they had known, for even his facial features were now different. When Reb Chaim heard Reb Mordechai going into his private quarters, he followed him. Meanwhile, the Jews began discussing among themselves the changes that had come over Reb Chaim, and all this because of the Maggid. When Reb Mordechai and Reb Chaim entered the Beis HaMedrash, and Reb Mordechai noticed the assembled Jews, he joyfully wished them a good year and went outside to recite Kiddush Levona. Reb Mordechai was overjoyed to discover that none of the Jews had yet said this prayer, for he now had the opportunity to bless the new moon with a minyan. At the end of Kiddush Levona, Reb Mordechai placed his arm over Reb Chaim's shoulder, and Reb Chaim's arm over his own shoulder. He instructed the other Jews to do the same, and they began dancing to a joyous melody. Reb Mordechai was a wonderful singer and possessed great musical talent. While he was at the Baal Shem Tov's court, he had learned all the melodies that were sung there. The Baal Shem Tov himself was a great singer, and he possessed a rare voice. He could alter the range of his voice at will. Having a unique talent for music, he would sing often. The Baal Shem Tov considered singing to be a form of Avodas Hashem. Singing touches the soul. It causes an outpouring of spiritual energy and gladdens one's spirit. All of the Talmidei Baal Shem, all of the Baal Shem Tov's disciples, as well as all the members of the Holy Fellowship of the Mizrachi Maggid's disciples, used song while worshipping God in the Hasidic tradition. The dance that Reb Mordechai had started with Reb Chaim and the others assembled lasted for a long time. But eventually, Reb Mordechai discovered that Reb Chaim had not yet broken his fast, and that the other Jews too were still fasting. Reb Mordechai was disturbed by the fact that his dancing and singing had caused Reb Chaim and the other Jews to prolong the discomfort of the Yom Kippur fast. And so he went into the Beis HaMedrash to recite the Havdalah. The rest of the tale about this wondrous Yom Kippur evening, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, God willing, in the next installment.